Raivada Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Bala Giri Vada Dari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Bala Giri Vada Dari Yashoda Nanda Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nanda Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanna Chari Rasyanda Tira Vanna Chari Jaya Vata Maranda Kunda Bihari Bhakti Janna Bala Giri Vada Dari Yashoda Nanda Praja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nanda Praja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanna Chari Jamuna Tira Vanna Chari Radha Shyama Sundara Radha Shyama Sundara Radha Shyamaya Radha Shyam Radha Shyamaya Radha Shyam Radha Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Hare 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 Hare
We'll see what happens. So we'll begin with calling some auspiciousness. Maybe you can repeat with me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Vishnu Balaya Krishna Stai Bhutai Shumata Bhakti Vinanta Swami Tinam Namaste Saraswati Deva Gaur Vandani Charma Shri Shishinamada Vishakti Deshutam. So I've been looking at the calendar recently, and there have been so many days of appreciation on the calendar. Last Friday was Teacher's Appreciation Day. My daughter's a teacher over here. She said they had some kind of celebration. Workers' Day was before that, and then there's President's Day, and there's Father's Day, and then there's Mother's Day. There's Veterans Day, all kinds of days to appreciate persons that have contributed significantly to society in general. And of course, on our calendar, we have so many wonderful celebrations for all the great saints and sages that have helped us spiritually along the way. And also, of course, of Krishna's wonderful pastimes that are going on still at this minute. So the calendar is full of different ways that we can appreciate and to generate some respect for these great personalities. And one such day is today, and in the Vedic culture, and in this culture too, Mother's Day is very important. Mothers leave an impression on your whole life, that's for sure. Maybe good, maybe bad, but mostly that you remember wonderful things about your mother. And not only just materially are they respected, I mean, they have a vast variety of duties and responsibilities that, you know, fill up a whole spectrum, 360 degrees. One cannot replace them for anything. But also spiritually, it's very important that mothers help their dependents and their family grow and become nourished. Amongst all these different attributes of mothers, this nourishing and caring is probably the most prominent. They become like the hub of the family, always taken care of. Recently, my mother, who's 94, is getting incapable of doing a lot of things, and I went down and visit and help her. And still, she's worried about me, even though she's up practically on her deathbed. She's saying, "Do you need anything?" She can't even get up hardly. Can I get you anything? Do you need anything? So it's a lifetime engagement of caring and nourishing for your loved ones. And in Krishna consciousness, this consciousness of especially the spiritual nourishment of your dependents begins even before conception. The marriage vows are there to solidify that you are going to give your energy and your consciousness and your lifetime in raising Krishna conscious children, helping them to become delivered from another repetition of birth and death. So this is greatly stressed for those who take to household life, and most all of us do. And so that duty is there. I know that in my life, I didn't really have a spiritual figure, a real religious figure in my family life. I can remember one aunt who was always had their her face in the Bible and different religious things she's always was attending, but I never could understand what that world was. It was just like a different thing, you know. I didn't know where she was at, because none of my other family was merged into it. But it's very important that the parents are very active in spiritual life, just as much materially as they are, because it will give a wonderful impression on your children, and then you'll have so many spiritual figures and, that you can rely on to help you get through the material world, which is very difficult at times, most of the time. So we can think of each one of us who are mothers can kind of think of ourselves as trying to make some impression on our children, so you can kind of reflect, you know, where am I at? How am I doing? What are my children thinking of me now? And what will they think of me in the future? So there's always that opportunity to become more and more solid in our material and spiritual nourishment of our dependence. It is such a great responsibility. It holds a lot of weight in the whole society in general. So one should always be remembering that. But in the Vedic culture, there's not just one mother. You're the mother that you come from into this material world from. But there's actually seven mothers as described. And there's also the nurse. There's the wife of the king, the wife of the spiritual master. There's the earth, the cow, and is that all of them? And the wife of the spiritual master. Did I say that? Wife of the Brahman, right. So those are the seven spiritual mothers. So most of these don't apply to us now. I don't know how many of you had a nurse or a we don't have any kings, and the spiritual masters usually are not, the wives are not very active in the raising of the children. There used to be a gurukula where the teacher would have a wife and you would live with them. So we have to kind of, can't really talk about those because I don't have any experience. But then I thought I would talk a little bit about some of the others, and add one. Sometimes it's kind of on the list. It's definitely mentioned in Srila Prabhupada's books, in the beginning of Shisha Upanishad and Bhagavad Gita, and that is the mother, which is the Vedas, which are scriptures. And so we'll talk a little bit about each one of those and the importance of how we should celebrate them all the time, and including today, that they are our mothers. They are nourishing us spiritually and materially. So the first one I thought of was the one that we're standing on all the time. Our mothers support us. Not only do they nourish, but they support us. And we're constantly standing on Mother Earth, giving us support in so many different ways, nourishing us with all the plentiful foods and things like that. And in the Veda culture, she's actually known as a person. Even here in the United States, you hear Mother Earth, right? She's personified because it is a mother. We can't live without, you know, all these different things that she provides. So unfortunately, there is one day of the year. It was actually a couple weeks ago, Earth Day. It just started not too long ago. We definitely didn't have it when I was a child or a teenager, but it's nice. They decide, yeah, maybe we should think about the Earth, especially now that it's becoming aware that we're not really taking care of this mother. We're actually exploiting her to a very dangerous degree, especially for the future generations. In the Veda culture, this Mother Earth is known by the name Bhumi, and she has a lot of different activities throughout the scriptures, different interactions with celestial personalities and Krishna, and we get to know her a little bit of how strong she is. Actually, you can think of the earth, how strong. It's holding all these oceans. If anyone ever carried a 5-gallon bucket of, or that 20-gallon bucket of juice that goes out, you can see these two big guys carrying it out with all their strength. Water weighs a lot. Think of the oceans and the mountains. She supports so much. She's very strong. So she can support even the cement buildings and all the different things that we're putting on her all the time. But she's also very sensitive. Women are very sensitive. And so it's described that she can carry and she tolerates so much burden, but that, not of that of a liar, of one who is not truthful. And so we should kind of reflect, you know, especially with this campaign coming up and government things, and you know that if the leaders are not truthful, then the earth suffers, and that therefore our societies suffer, the whole civilization suffers. So each one of us should always be thinking, don't tell that lie. Mother Earth, that's going directly against Mother Earth. It is giving her unfathomable displeasure. So in all of our dealings, we should be very honest. And this is one way we can worship Mother Earth. And then there's other ways too. We can definitely, as it's being promulgated now, that we should be more conscious of conserving her energy. On this farm here, we're actually trying to replace all the different things that we take. So we have a nice composting system. We take and then we save all the things and put it back in the earth. So many different ways we're trying to become a little bit more conscious, because devotees also have a tendency to be very spoiled, very wasteful. It's easier just to keep taking and not putting back. So we have nice orchards now and always looking for more trees to put in. And so this is a way we can respect Mother Earth. But we can see that she is very upset. I don't know if you all have counted how many earthquakes in the last 2 weeks. You know, how many fires and how many different things are going, disasters are going on. It's a reflection. She's upset, very upset. The taking of her vital fluids unnecessary is very, very detrimental, putting poisons on her, and then discarding all of our refuge in her rivers and oceans. So devotees should set the example and try to not do that. We were at Clearwater Beach yesterday, and we were very early. Some of us got there at like 10:30, hoping to set up. And all of a sudden we go there, and the whole pavilion is full of people. They're serving out all kinds of food, and there's canopies all set up where we set our canopies, and we're going, oh my gosh, what's going on? How are we going to do anything? It ended up to be a day for consciousness of the turtles, of protecting turtles. And but they also had a garbage cleanup day for the turtles, and so everyone was going around picking up garbage, and it was nice, you know. It had all the little kids becoming more conscious of that, and how to do that. So as residents of Mother Earth, we should see that she's a very powerful lady, and we should try to work in cooperation. One little sneeze of Bhumi and tornadoes, earthquakes, so many different things, a little tremble. It doesn't take much for her to show us that she's upset. I don't know about you, but in your household when you were young, or even now, if your mother is not in a good mood, you stay away, right? You know, don't go there. Don't have anything to do with her. Try to do something to make her happy, because she can affect everything. So we should think of our future generations here on this property, and in your own backyards and everything, of trying to plant different things. And this property is here forever. This is Krishna's land. And but unfortunately, the consciousness is that it is my land, that's your land, that's Russia's land, this is that land. But it was all here before we got here. And it's not proper to think that we can just claim it as ourselves. But unfortunately, we have. We think this is our United States. So if you do want to claim it, then become responsible and take care of it. Don't be thinking that you can just exploit and not get some retaliation in return. So we understand as devotees that the best thing to do with Mother Earth is to take the fruits that she gives and offer them to Krishna. All the food that you eat here at this temple and that they eat at the University of Florida in Santa Fe, all that wonderful food stuff, her fruit that she's giving, is offered to the Supreme Lord. Very simple way. You simply bow your head, you say some prayers, call them to honor this food. We're just giving it back to the Supreme Lord. And we get the pleasure of humbling ourselves and respecting her by doing that. And in return, the Lord accepts, and we benefit by cleansing our heart. So also, as devotees, we should traverse the earth, just like Srila Prabhupada. How many times did he circle the globe? 13 or something like that? Traverse the earth and the oceans and tell people about Krishna. Wherever you go, try to explain that Krishna consciousness is our original consciousness, that we are not the owner, we're not the supplier, that actually God is. There was a nice article in a Back to Godhead one time, it was called You Can't Eat Nuts and Bolts. And it was discussing about how we really do have to rely on the opulence of the land. This is real wealth. It's not just real estate. It's the land is our wealth, and it is Mother Bhumi. So we should have that respect, and maybe today do something in her honor. Maybe you'd like to donate a tree or something. We'll plant it here in our orchard. So the next one are the Vedas, and Prabhupada always said many times that if you want to know who your father is, you ask your mother. So the mother, these scriptures that were spoken so many, many thousands, millions of years ago, are telling us everything about our father. So our search is pretty much ended. When you meet the Vedas, you realize that you have a whole lifetime ahead of you of study of your father. So much, everything you need to know about God is there. And it is a lifetime of study. I mean, I've been doing this just a short time and feel like I just, you know, scratched the surface of understanding who the father is. But mothers, as a mother, the Vedas, the scriptures also say, do this and don't do that, right? They're always telling you these things. So in the Vedas, there are many instructions, and therefore we should abide by them. It's for our own good, right? You're trying to help her, telling her what to do for her own good, especially for the future. So if we want to really achieve our goal of Krishna consciousness, of absorbing ourselves in God and be able to inherit his kingdom and serve him eternally there, then we have to follow the instructions. And it's made very clear in the Vedas what to do and what not to do. And it's for our own spiritual health that we take it up in great sincerity and seriousness as our life and soul. And of course, the parents are very proud if you do follow their instructions, right? Like Bhaktivinod Thakur, he is a great teacher within our movement. He was a great scholar and renowned devotee, left many, many wonderful songs and scriptures for us to study. And he had one son. And at one time, Bhaktivinod Thakur was very sick. And he was supposed to go to a debate and of great philosophers and everything. And he couldn't go. And so he asked his young son at that time to represent him. And the word came back that he had shown his great scholarliness to everyone and defeated all the other philosophers. And so he was so proud that, yes, he actually understood and took seriously this learning the scriptures. And he was able to speak with all these, you know, very elderly, scholarly people and defeat them. In the same way, that personality, Bhaktisiddhanta, was so very much proud of his disciple, Srila Prabhupada, sitting right there, because he also took seriously the study of these scriptures. And he was such a prolific writer that Bhaktisiddhanta said that whatever he writes, you print it. So he had so much faith in this, and Srila Prabhupada, knowing these books cover to cover, and not only knowing them, but having them revealed to him. And this can also happen to us. We can actually have this revealed to us if we take seriously the Vedas as our mother. I've had experience even when I ran a teenage girls' school, some girls as young as 10, 12, 13 years old, we would take them to colleges and do some skit and things like that. And then afterwards, they would sit down. We'd say, you know, sit down, talk to these college students. And you'd see these little girls, you know, explaining this philosophy. And the students are like, wow, you know, they were so impressed. And it made us very happy, you know, that they actually were learning the philosophy. And I think the college people were there were like, wow, I can't believe these girls know so much at such a young age. And so many times they would say, yes, these girls are so intelligent. So we have to make Prabhupada very proud and know these scriptures and be able to take shelter of them. And if you do, then Krishna in your heart will actually reveal that knowledge to you. And in this age of Kali, there is so much darkness, so much ignorance, that the only hope is the Vedic scripture to get us out and to give us some direction so that we can know to go back to our Father and not stay here lost in this bewildering place, not knowing what your goal in life is. So we should take shelter of the Vedic literature and not deviate at all. When I was in Tampa, I noticed that something came on the news, and it said that one small child had wandered away from his mother just for 15 minutes, and they found him in some body of water only 150 feet from their house. So just a little deviation, not taking the mother's hand, not just deviating from that shelter, just a little, thinking that, oh, just change this or go over here or find something else. It can lead to great disaster for your spiritual life. And you might fall away from the path and could eliminate this human opportunity that we have to achieve perfection, which is to learn how to satisfy the Supreme Lord in so many ways. There's also the cow. We have quite a few cows here, some old ones and some young ones. I don't know who they have out. We were having trouble getting a key to get one of them to come over, but we have a small little bull out there too. I don't know if he's out there today, but they're very, very adorable, very dear to Krishna. You can see there's probably a cow in almost all these pictures and on the fronts of the books, all the pastimes. Right on the altar, we have so many cows, very dear to Krishna. And I think most of us can understand that the cow also is our mother, that we all, you know, were raised on milk and milk products. And I might reveal my age, but I remember when I was about 8 or 10 that we would actually put the milk bottles outside the garage door, and a man would come and fill, you know, replace them, and we'd have nice, you know, glass bottles of milk to pour in the cereal. And sometimes, you know, there'd be a little picture of Elsie, you know, with her smile. Actually, that cow out there, Rukmini, she looks, reminds me of Elsie with the curly little things. And but I never related as a child that this white substance that was delivered at our door was from a cow, until finally, you know, I traveled somewhere and someone told me that that's where it came from. But they didn't also tell me there was no connection that later on the day that the fate of that Elsie was not so happy, that it was ending up in between two pieces of bread. So in the Vedic culture, there is that connection. It's very nice. From birth, and hopefully I'm sure all these children understand the connection of this miracle food that we have, that that we relish every Sunday and on the offerings every single day of this milk substance. Prabhupada called it a miraculous food. This three essential foodstuffs described with the milk, the sugar, and the grains. With those three things, can give us so much nourishment. I myself can probably make 100 different things with milk, because you can change it into curd, you can change it into yogurt, sauces, unlimited things. I can't even think of a meal without some kind of milk product in it. That's the only dominical thing I think about myself, that I like milk. But so this is essential that we protect our mother from a doomless fate. So we try here at this farm to protect them and to also set the example. I know many of the families now have gotten some of their own cows and are selling the milk. It's wonderful. So we should try to encourage that. But not only the milk. I'm actually learning now that I'm out in the farm a little bit more that the cow dung is an amazing thing. We're making all these cow patties lately, and someone just wrote me and said, we need them for the festival coming up, because if you light them, it keeps the insects away. So they've begged 40 cow patties for the thing. So we knew some of your ladies come out and make some more. We have to start making them again. But also the cow dung, it makes wonderful floors in the houses and walls. And actually, if you go out here to the beginning of the farm, there's the walls are actually made with dirt and cow dung and straw. And they've been there for now almost 3 years and strong and good. So that's one thing that they, of course, the cow dung, we actually almost fight over it here. Who gets the cow dung for the compost piles and who gets it for the garden? And so it's a precious thing. Because the cows are also wealth. So many stories. And we're giving in charity 100,000 cows, 20,000 cows, and all decorated with golden horns and golden hooves and garlands, right? So this was real wealth. Because the cow, all the ingredients of the cow, the urine, medicine, so many different things. What else? The ghee for sacrifices, for yagyas, and fuel. I had two gentlemen here from the University of Florida, and they said, and I was asking about the methane, the use of the methane from the gases that everyone complains about. But actually, if you capture it, you can use it for fuel. And so I said, you know, we won't have that much, just a couple cows, giving that we can capture the dung. And they said, oh, we're from India. We lived in the village and everyone had two cows in their house. They were part of our family and everyone had a small little thing and using the fuel to cook on. So they promised to come here and help us install that process of using the fuel in that way. So this miracle fuel, this actually nourishing the brain substance, also Prabhupada said, is coming from our mother, the cow. And so we should protect her and try to do some service for her, especially many of us who were not raised with this proper consciousness. We need to ask forgiveness for all that sinful things that we were brought up in, and so we should figure out how we can do something in return, give some service. And there is service to do if anyone would like to do service for the cows. I can set you up in that way. I see someone snuck in and cleaned a lot of the cow barn while I was gone. Did you? Someone was cleaning in there. I noticed the kitchen was all clean. But the cows are wonderful. They're such simple creatures. You can go out in the fields and see they're just sitting there. They mow the grass. I mean, what grass is worth what? You know, all we have to do is, starting now, we mow it every single week, right? Once a week, you got to mow your grass around here. But they're so simple. They take this useless substance, they sit and chew it all day. And then we get this wonderful food stuff. And Krishna loves the cows. He loves to actually take the cow dung and smear it all over himself. And then he comes to his mother and they all freak out. And then he grabs the cow's tail, gets dragged through the yard. And he protects the cows and he takes them out and he plays with the cows. So they're very dear to us. And then we don't discard them. We don't discard our mothers. We don't discard, we shouldn't discard the earth or our cows. We protect them to the end of life. People come here and see some of our old cows and they go, what do you do to your cows? You know, they've never seen old cows. That's why. all the lady cows put all their weight on their backside, and they go, "What is that thing?" I said, "They're just old ladies, you know." So, okay, and there are signs that we are not protecting the cow, and that is the wars. Can anyone name a few countries? And I mean, probably not less than this many countries that are not in war right now, because if the result of the slaughter of the cow, every single hare that is harmed, you take birth again. You are killed. So the best way to take care of that situation are wars. So now we see we're involved in so many different wars, very unpeaceful. So that's a sign that we should start protecting and preaching about the protection of more cows. And the earth, we already talked about the signs there. But there's a solution. I saw recently that there's a billionaire, a real estate billionaire, that has said that no problem with this earth. If we mess it up, no problem. He has now made inflatable houses to take to Mars. And he's looking for renters. You can put them in the spacecraft, you go there, you blow them up, there's pictures on that, he actually has them made, and you can live on Mars, and we can mess up Mars. And he's looking for renters. You know how much it costs to rent one? Yes. $30 million a month. No wonder. No. So anyway, there is a solution. If we don't want to take care of Mother Earth, we can go destroy Mars. Invaders, definitely darkness all around us. A lot of misdirection and people without goals. And because of that, they are bewildered and not really in their right state of mind. So we see a lot of unstableness amongst the residents of the earth right now. So we should try to distribute this knowledge, these Vedas, and live it to our heart's content. And not caring for our mother. There is a problem with that. Many mothers are actually put in nursing homes and mistreated and not loved and cared for. They cared for us, so now is our opportunity, and I'm getting full realization of that, serving hand and foot my mother. But you actually realize, yes, that mother selflessness of serving the dependents, now we get an opportunity to also do that, to refund her in that way. And so we should not discard them as useless, but we should actually try to give our love and affection. And that will promote compassion amongst us. Right now, even young ladies are discouraged from being mothers, to even accept the responsibility of motherhood. Just kill the child in the womb. Don't take the responsibility. How horrible is that, you know, that they don't even have the consciousness and of that selfless love. And by serving our mothers until the death is very nice. And I see that it's actually helping me in my service to Krishna to realize what it really means to not get returned, to actually to do that. And in the same way, serving Krishna, learning his bhakti, helps us in serving other people. I see that too, that we actually can understand that there is a soul in that old body, and there is a soul in the cow and in the earth and in all the living entities. So this bhakti is the answer to everything, learning the art of loving service. It's described in the Vedas that there are three qualifications for a learned man. One is that the man will see every woman as mother, except for the wife. So the mothers, you have to be worthy of that. Act like a mother, not like something else. And the other is that a learned man will see everyone else's possessions as garbage in the street. I don't need it, it's not mine. What Krishna has given me, that is what I have, I'm happy, I'm satisfied. It's not mine. This earth is not mine. Nothing is mine. It's all Krishna's. Therefore, I should be happy and use it in his service. And the last is to treat everyone else as I would treat myself. So these are things that we can think about, and especially in giving our respect and appreciation for our mothers. And I've been to the Festival of Inspiration, which is going on at this moment right now. And Malati always announces on Mother's Day that I will give you free access to the phone. But all of you, go call your mother right now. So if you haven't done that, go home and do it. Okay? Thank you. Does anyone have any questions or maybe some comments? Dear, do we have a microphone? There you go.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. So you were talking about we have to learn this process of bhakti. And it popped in my mind that Bhakti Devi is also our mother.
Yes, Bhakti Devi.
The process of bhakti is another mother. I think Lakshmi Devi also was mentioned.
Radharani also? Radharani also?
Yes. So we're thinking like that.
Vrinda Devi?
When we think of ashray, shelter. This is our shelter. This is the shelter that we have. The process of Krishna consciousness, this process of bhakti. And that is represented, as you say, by Srimati Radharani.
Right. So we're surrounded with help. So wonderful. Let's see. Mother Sukhita had her hand up next.
I just wanted to say thank you to you for all the mothering of all the students you've done over the years, and for all the nurturing you've done for the fallen souls, and for all the mothering you do for the cows and for the project. So,
not enough. I'll be back many more times with many other mothers to learn better how to serve.
In relation to the cow, Prabhupada once met someone and the man was challenging him. Can your God make miracles? Prabhupada said, of course. What kind of miracles? Well, you can make an animal that you put grass on one side and you put milk on the other.
Thank you for a very nice class, Mother, and happy Mother's Day. When you were speaking earlier about the how the corporate people and the citizens in general are destroying the Earth, Mother Earth, I recently found out something, and they were saying that even in organic farming, corporate farming, they're using chicken manure as a fertilizer. And I was sort of surprised. And so it gets back to Prabhupada said that we should all be farmers ourselves, because, you know, so many people, they're thinking, well, I get some organic food from the store, organic plants and things like that. But there's so many loopholes in that, it's ridiculous.
We should make sure we offer to Krishna first.
Yes, that's true.
Isham Prabhu?
We're here in this material world. Most people who are religious, they want to improve their life in this material world. They think that is a worthwhile goal. Of course, we need basic things. So when we're very little, we look to our mother and we ask, give me this, give me that, dear mother, please supply. But when we grow up and become adult, then we say, you've given me everything, what can I do for you? We don't go to God or to Mother for asking, but they say, how can I serve? And this is the beginning of becoming an adult. So, in our Krishna consciousness, we're learning like this, that the real solution to our everything is to live this life and not to try to perfect our life here, because you cannot. No matter how much we prosper, we lose everything. We lose our youth, we lose our body, we lose everything. And we do it like birth after birth. This is not a place to make it a perfect solution to anything. And the loophole to get out of this cycle of terrible pain and suffering is to become a servant of Mother. And that is what we're learning in Krishna consciousness. It's not, most religions will ask for things that be because they are children in religion. But mature religion is to approach Mother with an attitude of service. Then we can go back to live with Krishna eternally and make our lives perfect. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranabha. Krishna is our mother, Krishna is our father, and Krishna is our living force. So, yes, learn this art of bhakti. Thank you. Hare Krishna.